So this morning, like I said, I'm privileged to speak to the people of God. Before we do anything, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. We bless your holy name. We thank you for the privilege to be in your presence this morning. We thank you for this is the day that you have made unto thyself. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Lord Jesus, we have come to your feet to be fed of your word. The Bible says the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding unto the simple. Father, we ask, O God, for impartation of light, even as we hear your word this morning. Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you, not from David, not from man. Speak to us yourself. Father, and let there be deliverance, let there be healing, let there be transformation by the reason of your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with me, let's open to the book of Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, and I read quickly. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and he caused me to pass among them all around. And there were many in the open valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you so that you live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will grow back flesh upon you, and cover you with skin and put breath in you so that you live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking, and bones came together, bone to its bone. When I looked, the sinews and the flesh grew upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this thing so that they live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, pay attention, O my people. I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and perform it, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning I titled my sermon, Can These Dry Bones Live? Can these dry bones live? And I believe by the grace of God at the end of this sermon, these questions the Holy Spirit will answer in everybody's life. When the man of God called me and spoke to me that he wants me to speak at this weekend, I begin to ruminate, okay, what am I going to speak about? And I thought, okay, it's a weekend of honor. Maybe I was going to talk about honor. But the Holy Spirit said no. So I changed my topic and he gave me this. And as I was meditating upon it, it reminded me of something he told me 2015. I was just in my house. We were going through some things then. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, every dead dry bones in your life will live again. And I held on to that prophetic word since that time. And I began to see the hand of God even concerning situations and circumstances that I believe it is impossible. And God began to touch them and began to turn them around. So it reminded me of that. Then the next thing I had in my spirit, so I had the word shift. I had the word shift. And then the third thing it reminded me was last year, I was going into the bathroom one day, and I heard the voice of the Lord. He says, I am going to turn it around. I didn't know what it was going to turn around. I didn't know that there would be situations and circumstances like this in the world that is going to come upon us, that it will only take the hand of God to be able to turn it around. So when he told me, all these things began to come into my spirit. And I be- begin to realize that in my spirit, that this weekend is going to be a Kairos weekend in the life of the children of God. This is an opportunity that comes once in a while. I believe God wants to do something in this place at this time. So when that began to encapsulate in my mind, he said we should make a list, request list, that we should write things that are dead, dry bones in our lives, and we should bring it, and his hand is going to touch it, you know. And we did that yesterday. If you haven't done that, if you are here with your list, fine. If you haven't, you can write your list now. It's not too late. So these are the things that begin to kind of formulate in my spirit. And when I was meditating upon this, a scripture came into my mind. It's in Genesis chapter 35, from verse 16 to 18. There was a woman named Rachel. She was going to have a baby. She was having problems with the labor. There was pain. And at the point of giving birth, she actually lost her life. And when she was about to die, she decided to name that boy Ben-Oni, which is son of sorrow. And as soon as she said that, the father had the name, said, "No, I'm not going to accept that. My son will not be a what? A son of sorrow. I name him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. The son of my right hand." There was an incident that preceded that. There was a curse that was put on that woman. She stole her father's idol. And the father wanted the idol back. But the husband didn't know that she stole the idol. And when the father couldn't find the idol with them, the husband got angry because he said that if your idol is here, whoever stole your idol must die. So his mouth spoke it. And when he said that, the father didn't find the idol, but in the realm of the spirit, they know who stole it. So the curse stayed upon her. And when she was about to die, she was going to pass that curse onto that boy. But the father said no. He said, he's going to be the son of my right hand. You see, the import of that is this. Mankind, in generality, is a son of God's right hand. You and I, we are Benjamin of God. We are son of what? God's right hand. In the dealings of the Spirit of God with man, God had decided in his infinite mercy that I'm going to make man son of my right hand. God has different parts. He has one head just like you have, two eyes, two ears, two legs. So that's the thing. We look like him. You see, different parts of God signify different things. There are different dimensions of God. But the choicest part of God, the most honorable part of him, is his right hand. And he decided that you and I were going to be son of his right hand. To God, we are not children of pain. To God, you are not children of sorrow. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life. It doesn't matter what the enemy is throwing at you. It doesn't matter what the lie that you are being told by the enemy. You are not a child of what? Sorrow to God. You are a son of his right hand. Jesus, who is the original prototype of man, the Bible says what? He is seated where? On the right-hand side of God. Jesus secured that place for man before the foundation of the world. Before you ever showed up here, God said to that matter that I am going to make man the son of my right hand. You see, what played out in the text that we read in Ezekiel 37, where the man of God, he says what? The hand of the Lord took me into that valley. Every time you see in the scripture, the Bible says the hand. Even though it doesn't say whether it's the right or the left, just know whenever it involves man, it is the right hand. The Bible says in the presence of God, there is what? There is joy, fullness of joy. And on his right hand, there are what? pleasure. He never told us what is on the left side. And it's none of our business to know. The only time he said anything about his left hand is when Jesus was talking about judgment. That those of you on the left go into what? Eternal damnation. So eternal damnation is not created for man. When people talk to you and say, how can a loving God create hell and send human beings to hell? Hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his demons. So any man that finds himself or herself in a position that you have to go to hell, just know you have walked out of your destiny. Because your destiny is on the right side. Your destiny is on the right side. So there was an incident that happened in heaven. In the book of Revelation chapter 5. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord took the man of God into heaven and he gave him a vision. And in that chapter 5 from verse 1 to 5, the Bible said he saw a being on the throne, and on his right hand there was a scroll with seven seals. And that being on the throne was asking, is there anybody that is capable to break the seal and open this book? And the man of God was looking. And the Bible said, he said there was nobody that was found in heaven. There was nobody that was found on earth or under the earth to be able to break this seal and open this scroll. And the Bible says the man of God began to weep. He was weeping so bad. He felt hopeless. He felt depressed. You can imagine when the man of God was in the valley of dead dry bones and God asked him, say, can this bone live? That is the same thing he was feeling. He was hopeless. He was dejected. He didn't even know. He was not sure. But there was a voice that spoke in heaven. He said, stop crying. Wipe your tears. He said, we have found somebody that is able to what? Break the seal and open that scroll. His name is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The one on the right hand of God. Why is that scroll important? That scroll is important because what? That is the scroll that contains the thought, the intent, the purposes of God. Everything that God is thinking, breathing about you and I. The thought of God has been written concerning you in that book. And that's why it is important for that book to be open. And the righteous right hand of God was the one that was able to open that book. There are things that has been written concerning your destiny before you showed up here. You better begin to find out what has been written about you in the Bible. How do I know that? Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior, when he showed up on the earth, he said what? Lord, here I come. And I found written about me in the volume of the book. Written about who? Me in the volume of the book. There is something specific that God wrote about you. You need to find it out. It is in this. You are not here today by accident. No, you are not here right now by accident. Why do I know that? The Bible says there's nobody. Jesus said there's nobody that can come to me except what? My Father do what? Draws him. There's a hand that brought you here this morning. There's a hand that brought you here. And that hand brought you here because what? It is time to touch your destiny. It is time to change some things in your life. The man of God was looking at the bones. He said, can this bone live? He said, I don't know. When we are talking about bones, what does it signify? You see, God speaks in similitude. God is a graphic artist. He likes painting pictures. When he speaks to you, he's painting pictures with his words. So you better be able to follow that trend. So when he was talking about bones, he was talking about so many things.
If we dissect it and look, what does bone represent? One of the things that bone represents is structure. Any architect that is going to build a house, you have to put down the what? The frame first. It represents what? Structure. If we don't have our skeletal frame as human beings, we can't stand, we can't sit, we'll just be like a blob. An absence of structure simply means what? The presence of confusion. You see, those dead thy bones that you saw in the valley, something happened to them. They were not like that. There's a story behind it that brought them into that situation. Somewhere along the line, they lost their what? Their structure. They lost their structure. One of the things that affected them, that actually, I believe, pushed them to where they are, was confusion. The Bible says God is not the author of what? Confusion. Wherever there is confusion, you know that the devil is sitting there and having dinner. So there was confusion. Number two, bones signifies what? Identity. Definite form. Our identity is in who? In Christ Jesus. Those people, they lost their identity. Who you are determines what? What you have. If you don't know who you are, if you've lost your identity, you don't know what you have. When Joseph was in prison, the Bible says what? He prospered. How can God say a prisoner that was sold without clothes? He looked at him. He said, he prospered. But he gave us the secret. He said, the Lord was with him. He has an identity. He didn't lose his identity. And that's what determined his worth. These people, they lost their identity. They don't know who they were again. That's one of the things that caused their problem. Number three. Foundation. Bone signifies foundation. The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In the book of Psalm 82, he said what? He said, the foundation of the whole world is out of course because of ignorance. The greatest advantage you can give to the devil in your life is to be ignorant. The moment you are ignorant, you have ceded everything over to the devil. That's why the Bible says, my people perish. Because what? Because they are ignorant. It's ignorance. Number four, bone signifies anchor, root. These people, they were supposed to be rooted and grounded in the what? In the Lord. But they got uprooted and transplanted from where they were supposed to. And they lost their destiny. They die. Bone also signifies divine link, connection. See, our head is joined to the neck is joined to the shoulder, arms, to the spine, to the leg. If there's a disconnection of the chain, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be what? In trouble. We are meant to be connected to Christ, to God, all the days of our life. Man was not created to be disconnected from God. The moment you disconnect yourself from God, you're done. You're done. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, when sin came into the world, the Bible says all of us have gone our own ways. Everybody went in different directions. Just like the bones, they are scattered all over the place. But something happened in the book of Isaiah 53. There's a man that came from God. He went onto the cross. And the Bible says, all our sin was put upon him. And because he bore all the sin, he was able to bring us all back from where we all strayed away to. He established the connection back again. If that connection is not there, imagine how will it be possible for the blood vessel, the nerves, I mean,
the veins, the artery, to travel all the way from the heart into your legs. It's just like your wire. You want to make that connection. You have to attach it to the frame until you get to the... So this is what we're talking about. What again? The bone signifies source. Your red blood cell is produced in your bone. Anything that goes after your bone goes after your life. Because the red blood cell is the one that carries oxygen in your body. The moment you are denied that, you're in trouble. That's why one of the worst cancer that anybody can have is the cancer of the bone. Because it's going after your very life to destroy everything. It's the source. And because all these things happen to these people, the Bible says what? The bone became very dry also. It means deep sorrow. Those people died in deep sorrow. Deep sorrow always what? The Bible says always dry the bones. So what we are seeing in the valley of that dry bone is an impossible situation. It's a situation that cannot be reversed in the natural. But I came to tell you this morning, just like John was told in heaven, say, rejoice, wipe your tears, because somebody was found that is able to open the scroll. There's somebody that has been found that is able to reverse the irreversible, that is able to make the impossible possible. So I come here to tell you this morning, that knockdown is not a knockout until you decide it's a knockout. That failure is not permanent until you yourself said, well, it is permanent. That setback is actually a setup. If you can see it in the realm of the spirit, that defeat is actually not a defeat. If you can see what God is saying. See? The Bible says something about these people. In the latter verse, when they've risen up, became an army of God, God told the man of God why this happened. He says, see, this is my people. This is what they were saying to themselves. Say, our hope is lost. We are cut off. We are finished. We cannot be successful. These are the things that were coming out of their mouth that causes them to die, that caused them to die and to become dead, very dry bones. How many times do we curse ourselves out? Oh, I am finished. I can't get out of this problem. Oh, my life is a mess. You see, the Bible says, death and life is in the power of your tongue. Death and life is not in the power of the devil. The devil ain't got no power. He's a diminishing enemy. He's cut off branch. He's drying. He's withered. He's been cut off from God thousands, millions of years ago. Imagine, he's on his last leg. And the power that created the whole universe, everything you see is actually in your tongue. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. The Bible says, by your own mouth, you'll be exalted. It says, by your own mouth, you will also be what? Be put down. It depends on what you say. You remember in the wilderness, every time they encounter a problem, they'll go to Moses. Now you brought us here to kill us. We should have died in Egypt. We were eating cucumbers. We were eating meat. Oh, we should have died. Oh, we should have died. Oh, we... Then one day God got tired. You want to die? I've heard everything you're saying. Then you all die. And the Bible says what? 3 million people perished in the wilderness. Not because that's what God wanted, but because they chose that. Only two made it to the promised land. What are you speaking over yourself? What are you saying concerning your situation? What are you declaring over your children? Oh, you this children, oh, you make
me so sick. I don't think you can ever make it in life.
Are you God? Why are you cursing them? This is what God is saying this morning. Whatever you are going through, it doesn't matter how bad it is. You see, let me tell you something. Some of you, you are going through situations and circumstances that you don't know anything about. The Bible says the children of Israel, they were in captivity for 400 years. Many of you, you are fighting generational battles. Generational curses. Curses that were brought about by your great, 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 great ancestors. When you were not yet in the picture, they made an agreement with the devil. And they set up an altar that if you will do this for me, I will make sure that my generation serve you. And here you came into the picture. And then you said, I got born again. I'm a child of God. Guess what? Something has been set in motion before you got here. The fact that you got born again doesn't automatically erase it. You must sustain spiritual intelligence to go after that altar and get it destroyed. And there is a hand that has been ordained before you came here to help you to destroy that altar. It doesn't matter what you're going through. When we're talking about the bones, the Holy Spirit ministered to me. I believe God that there's going to be marriages in this church. When Adam saw Eve, he said, you are the bone of my bone. He said, you are my connection. You are the one that made me complete. Do you know why God said it is not good for a man to be alone? Because what? When a man is alone, there's a broken what? Link. Man and woman are two different dimensions of God that exist in God. But for the purpose of administration, God decided to separate them in human being and made them man and what? Woman. So every time a man and a woman comes together, you make it complete. That is the wholeness that is in God. That's why he said he made them male and female to be one in spirit and in flesh so that they can bring forth godly offspring. God is still in the business of finding spouses for us. I stand here to correct the theology that because Adam said, oh, this is the woman that made me do it, God no longer looks for spouses for people. It's a lie. If God neglects that, that means God is neglecting half of himself. So God is actively involved if you will allow him to find your husband and to find your spouse. And that same hand, we go and bring him wherever he is or wherever she is. I don't know who's that for, but take it. Take it. So God showed the man of God all these dead, dry bones. He said, I saw it. Why? You see, there are times that God will have to show you what you are going through. He will confront you with the picture. Why? Not because he wants to make a mockery of you. But what you cannot confront, you are not ready to conquer. Until you confront your problem, until you confront your situation, until you stand up to it and say, no more! I'm not going to lie down anymore. I'm not going to roll over anymore. I'm going to fight for my destiny. That's why he had to show him all that. The second reason why he had to show him, when the children of Israel were about to cross and Pharaoh was pursuing them, he told them something. He said, look at those Egyptians. He said, those enemies that you see today is their last day. He said, look at them very well. You will see them no more after what my hand will do. I come to tell you this morning, whatever has pursued you into this place, I decree, I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, today you see them no more in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You see them no more in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. What does the hand of God, what does it signify? What does it connote? What is the worth of that hand? Number one, the hand of God is a hand of power. Everybody say power. The hand of God is a hand of power. Why is power important? We are in a kingdom that is dominated by power. Don't deceive yourself. You cannot do anything in this world without power. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in talk, it's in the demonstration of the power of God. The kingdoms of the world are power-based, they were power-birthed, they were power-controlled, they were power-dominated. In the book of Psalm 66, the Bible says what? Your enemy will submit unto you through the greatness of your power. Through the what? The greatness of your power, not because you know how to talk. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, it says what? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power. The first thing that he received was what? Power. He said, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will receive what? Power. You need power. Jesus told the disciples, I'm going. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. He says, what? I give you all authority over all the powers of the what? Of the devil. You need power. The hand of God is the hand of power. It's the hand of power. Why is that power important? He told Moses. He said, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. He said, I'm going to set up Pharaoh. You think God is harsh? No. Because Pharaoh said something before that. He said, who is your God? He said, I don't care about your God. I don't know him. God said, don't worry, I'll show him. He said, I'm going to set him up. I'm going to make his heart so hard so that I can show my power through what I'm going to do to him. And the whole world will know that there's a God in heaven that is in charge of power. I don't know what has held you back. That hand is here to show his power on your behalf. Like he make mockery of the gods of Egypt. He's going to make mockery of every god that is behind your problem in the name of Jesus Christ. The hand of God is the hand of power. Number two is the hand of rescue. In Deuteronomy 26, verse 8 to 9, the Bible says what? That hand brought out the children of Israel. He rescued them from bondage of 400 years. He rescued them from what? Bondage, 400 years. It doesn't matter how long you've been battling with this problem. It doesn't matter what the doctors have told you. It doesn't matter what the people have told you. Oh, this is our family history. It runs in the family. My dad had it, my great, 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 great. So automatically, I have it. That's a lie. It's a hand of rescue. God can rescue you from that situation. And do you know what? Every problem that jumps generation, there's a God behind it. That's why it's able to jump from one generation to the other. And God said, not only will I rescue you from bondage, they were in captivity to the Egyptians, but also to the gods of Egypt. And God also told me, he said, tonight, when you put that blood on the door of your house, he said, I will go through this land. I will kill every firstborn of the Egyptians. And then I will execute judgment against the gods of Egypt. That same God that executed judgment against the gods of Egypt to rescue his people, we execute judgment against the gods, the altars that has been set up to hinder your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. The hand of God is a hand of rescue. The hand of God is a hand of victory. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who always, always give us what? Victory. Your destiny is victory. You are not what? meant for defeat. No. No. The righteous right hand of God that accompanies your destiny is a hand of victory. God never loses what? In a war. So you are set up for victory. No matter what your situation is, no matter what is telling you are a failure, you are a defeat. No. There's a hand that has been ordained. And guess what? Because that hand opened that scroll in heaven before you showed up here. So it is not a matter of discussion. Your victory has been settled in heaven before you came here. So whatsoever the enemy is putting you through now, the enemy is already late. Because your victory is already established. The hand of God is a hand of supernatural breakthrough. In Isaiah 45, he talked about a man, Cyrus. He said, I'm holding his hand. I'm going to use him to break down nations, to break down kingdoms. I'm going to use him to open doors. Supernatural breakthrough. Breakthroughs that goes beyond the understanding of man. Look, God is in the business of rescuing his people. God is in the business of rescue. That was a supernatural breakthrough. And that same hand can speak on your behalf. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is saying. But there's somebody here that needs that breakthrough. And that hand will answer for you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Quickly, the hand of God is a hand of divine speed. There was a man in the Bible, his name is called Elijah. The Bible says what? When the hand of the Lord came upon him, he gathered up his cloth and he began to run on his foot and he outran the chariot of the king. It's like me running on my feet, outrunning the convoy of Trudeau. 22-mile race. And the Bible says what? He outran the chariot of the king unto Jezreel. Some of you have been bogged down in the same position. You've been marking time on the same spot. It is time to move ahead. And because you have lost so much ground, you see, God is a God of justice. He's not going to just set you free so that you are able to begin to move. If he does that, he hasn't done anything. The job is not complete. If you've lost 10 miles and your enemy is already over there, and then God says, okay, I set you free, you can move. Do you think you can catch up with it? No, that hand has to move you and put you right in front of him. There's somebody here. Your life, your destiny, we begin to gather divine speed and you begin to outrun every of your enemy. Everybody that you think they've left you behind, you begin to outrun them in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. The hand of the Lord is the hand that give us access into the realm of mysteries. You see, mysteries, they are body of knowledge that God has packaged for the end time, for the glory of the church. He said he packaged that body of knowledge so that when we begin to access it, we will make mockery of the devil and his angels. And it is vitally important for us to access that mysteries. After Peter told Jesus, he said, you are Christ, the Son of the Most High. He said, yes. He said, flesh and blood did not tell you. My Father told you. He said, upon this revelation, I will build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. He said, not only that, I will give into your hand keys to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. These are divine secrets that God used to establish this world. And the Bible says what? When we begin to assess that mysteries, we become masters of principalities, of powers, of darkness, of spiritual wickedness in high places. We begin to tell them who the boss is. That was an example of that mystery. There were three kings in the Old Testament. They were going to war. And they were going to die. So they sought the help of the man of God. The man of God didn't like them. But there's one man, one king among them. He loves God. And he told them, he said, if not the fact that you are with them, I wouldn't have bothered myself to come.
And the man of God said, bring me a minstrel. And the Bible says, as they brought the minstrel, and as he began to sing, the hand of the Lord came upon the man of God. And they began to do what? And they began to declare mystery. He said, dig ditches. Dig many ditches. He said, you will not see rain. There will be no wind. But thus said the Lord, by tomorrow, said, these ditches will be filled with water. And you and your animals and your soldiers will drink and you will not die. And not only that, God will deliver into your hand the enemy that you're going to fight. Mystery. An example of that mystery. There was a time they went to cut wood to build the house of the prophet. They lost the axe head in the water. The man said, alas, my master, I borrowed this axe. What are we going to do? I don't have money to pay back. He said, where did you drop it? He said, over there. The Bible says, the man of God took a tree and he cut it. He said, where did you drop it? He said, over there. And he threw that tree, the twig, on the water. And the Bible says, the axe head did what? It floated. Mystery. These are the things that God has ordained for us to make mockery of the enemy. You see, Jesus is coming back very soon. He said, I'm coming back for a church that is not wrinkled. And I saw in the book of Revelation that the church that is not wrinkled is the church that has perfected the access to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's what the king is coming back for. How do you secure this hand so that it can work for you? The fact that you are born again doesn't guarantee you access to this hand. No. God is not a magician. He's not a Father Christmas. There's a way, there's a means to God. That's why the Bible says what? Seek the Lord when he is near. The question I put to you, is there any time that God is not near? Huh? But the Bible says seek the Lord when he's near. Then you need to begin to ask your question. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? There's a way you secure the hand of God. The Bible says what? When the Lord turned around the captivity of Zion. The question I put to you is, Zion is supposed to be a place of victory. How come they were in captivity? How come they were in captivity? So, the fact that you are in church doesn't guarantee the hand of God. How do you access it? Number one, by revelation. You need to secure revelation. Number two, access to the voice of God. You need to be able to access the voice of God. Number three, obedience. Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Because what? Whatsoever the mouth of God speaks, it's only his hand that can do it. As soon as he speaks it, just know that his hand is following it. So, obedience. Number four, praise. Make praise a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Not just in church. Every day, every time, praise. Number five, fasting and prayer. Or prayer and fasting, whichever one. Number six, faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to see God. In other words, it is impossible to experience God. Go and read the book of Hebrews 11 again and see what those people do. The Bible says by faith, they obtain good report. Number five, you have to walk in God's plan. And that plan was written in that book before you showed up here. Find out what the plan of God is for your life. Don't just go into business because you feel like going into it. Just don't marry somebody because you feel like, oh, I like him. No. There's a plan, there's a place, there's a purpose for which God. And when you walk in his plan, his hand is committed to that plan. Finally, what are things that can hinder you from the hand of God? I call them buts. Number one, ignorance. That's the greatest disadvantage that you can have. Number two, murmuring and complaining. When you murmur and you complain, you complicate your problem. Number three, disobedience. Number four, doubt and unbelief. Number five, pride. Bible says God knows the proud from afar. In fact, that hand will actively fight you. Because the Bible says, I oppose the proud. That's the only time God himself will fight a man when you are prideful. So, pride.
And number six, flesh. What is flesh? Flesh is what? It's a way of thinking, acting, and speaking against the word of God. That's what flesh is. And when you walk in the flesh, the Bible says what? The flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh cannot see the manifestation of the hand of God. I pray that this morning that God has ministered to you.